I want to spend maybe like the next 10 minutes, hopefully, just giving my case, my apology for apologetics, Christian apologetics. I want to, with what I'm going to say next, I just want to, hopefully, for those of you who are new to even have heard the word apologetics, I want to introduce you to what it means. For those of you who do know what it means, I want to just refresh your mind, and hopefully it'll be somewhat of a motivation. So I just want to give my case for Christian apologetics, why I think it's necessary, especially in this day and age. So let me get started with that, guys. Now, I want to start off by defining, obviously, what Christian apologetics means, if you have a Bible with you. If you don't, it's no big deal. But if you do, you might want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. This is probably the most widely known verse to start off with Christian apologetics. And there, the Apostle Peter, he begins by saying, "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." And I want to repeat that key phrase there. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And I want to key in on that word defense. That word defense comes from the Greek word apologia. And obviously it sounds very familiar, right? It's where we get our English word apology. And like Bungie's been joking around during the announcements, and I wish he wouldn't. No, I'm kidding. No. He's been joking around in the announcements saying Ruben's going to apologize for his faith. And what we normally in our culture take the word apologize to mean is, you know, we've all been there when we've in elementary school when we disappoint our parents, we disobey them, and there we go. We have to make an apology. We have to say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for whatever I did that upset you. And I'm sorry. I promise I won't get caught again." You know, stuff like that. But we apologize. We don't want to disappoint. We don't want to disobey. Well, in a sense, yes, that's what the word apology can mean, especially in today's culture. But when Peter used this word defense or apologia, he was talking about a defense. And I guess a better way of thinking about it is more of a reasoned defense. Like, consider what a lawyer would do in a courtroom. A lawyer will begin with his opening statement, pleading to the jury, saying, "This is going to be my defense. This is what I'm going to show you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I'm going to build up a case to show you that it is beyond reasonable doubt that, you know, my client is innocent or the defendant is guilty or whatnot." But the lawyer at that point he's setting forth an apologetic. It's his apology, his whole case. He's building up a case, and it's going to be based intellectually, it's going to be reasonable, it's going to be credible, it's going to be plausible. So, you know, I know a lot of people may have grown up thinking that faith, Christian faith, the way it's used in the Bible or just in Christianity in general, it means taking a blind leap into the darkness, where you don't really have good reasons for what you believe, you just know that it makes you feel tingly inside and it makes you feel good, and therefore you believe it. Well, in actuality, that's not the way the word faith is used in the Bible. In the Bible, when we speak of faith, it speaks of putting your trust in something. And I always tell the youth, well, we only put our trust in things that have deemed themselves to be trustworthy. Okay? For instance, all our relationships here, a lot of us are friends, but we build up that friendship, we build up that trust. We see this person has shown themselves to be trustworthy time and time again, and therefore I can put my trust in them. Same thing with our Lord and Savior Jesus. He showed himself to be credible, trustworthy, by living the perfect life, by prophesying that he would die and then 3 days later be raised from the dead, and he did so. And he has found himself to be trustworthy, therefore I can put my faith, my trust in him as my Savior. That's what it is. So we have good reasons to believe this. So now when we go, our commission is now to go and spread the gospel. We use one of the forms of evangelism is by using Christian apologetics. We as Christians, we have good reasons and we want to share those good reasons. So yes, it does take a bit of mental effort. We will share our good reasons. We will reason with the people who are against God or against Christianity. And we will show them that their arguments in the end do not measure up to the standard of truth, to the standard of reality. And that we as Christians, we have truth on our side. Because we have the one true living God who has created everything, right? So that's apologetics, what it basically is, guys. It's just making a reasoned case, a reasonable case, and just having a reasoned defense of your faith, your Christian faith, or of the Christian faith in general. Now, some of the things that we can provide reasonable defenses for include things like Christian theology, right? Who is God? The nature of God, also the Trinity, that's part of the nature of God. The incarnation, God becoming the God-man in Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus, which is probably the central claim in Christianity. Also, miracles. Are they possible? Are they real? Do they happen today? What's going on? And et cetera, et cetera. So these are a bunch of things that we as Christians can have study and have good reasons for and then share those good reasons with other people. And as I mentioned, guys, I'm really blessed to see the outcome here, the turnout, I mean, and it just goes to show me that there's a need. There's definitely a need and there's definitely an interest in learning more about the Christian faith. You know, I know the way I came to start studying apologetics is I was challenged by one of my high school friends. It wasn't until college, but she was a high school friend, and during my sophomore, junior year in college, this was in the MySpace days, she was posting articles and links and just blurbs about stuff against Christianity, saying that it wasn't true and there was such and such reasons why. And that was the first time I ever saw anything like that. I mean, I went to church, probably a nominal Christian at that point, but I was just thrown back. How could, I've never heard this stuff. Is this true? And at that very moment, I felt just a burning desire to, the need to answer. This must be answered. I have to reply to my friend here. I can't let this slide. And so what I just started doing research. I don't know how I came across the sites I did, but one of them I still look to these days. But I found the answers. They were over the inspiration of the Bible, the reliability of the Bible, and who is God, stuff like that. And a lot of it was copy-paste at that point. But, you know, I just felt that I had to respond. But, you know, it wasn't anything like, you know, my testimony. It wasn't anything like that. I think gone are the days, really, of the 1950s crusades with Billy Graham and whatnot, where, you know, a lot of people, the general consensus was that, yeah, there's a God. You know, there's a God who gives us our morals, and all you really need to tell me is how he's changed your life. And yeah, you'll build a compelling case for me. But I think gone are those days. We've moved into a postmodern age where a lot of people may not believe in the reality of objective truth. And a lot of people will just try to build up their own, you know, their own belief system, which really doesn't match up. And it's really hard to come at these people with your testimony, you know. So something else is needed. And that's where I'm seeing this turnout here, is I see this need. I see the desire to answer these claims. And we'll talk more about some of those claims later. But it goes to show, guys, I'm really excited. And I hope you guys can just continue to be a part of this ministry. Now, it may surprise you guys that believe it or not, there are also Mormons who do apologetics. So there's Mormon apologetics. There's Jehovah Witness apologetics. There's Islam apologetics, even atheism apologetics. Because remember, apologetics just means to give a reason for what you believe, good reasons. And so, you know, Mormons, when they knock on your door and they have these pat answers that they give, that's their idea of apologetics. They've studied, they know the objections you're going to come at them with, and they've already done their homework. And so they have answers for why they believe. But now we as Christians, we have to prepare ourselves. Remember, I believe that testimony these days, I'm not saying it's completely out of the picture. It has its purposes and its proper context. But we must be prepared intellectually for these objections. Now, you're probably asking, well, when did this apologetics thing start? I know Peter, in 1 Peter 3, he mentioned always be ready to give a reason, but really, was it like this in this day and age? Well, in a sense, yes. You had the biggest things that Christians were being blamed for back in the first century when Christianity was getting off the ground. Some of the things they were being accused of was atheism, because you had the Roman Empire there in its polytheistic. They believed in hundreds, thousands maybe, of gods. And so Christianity comes along and says, hey, we only believe in one God. Well, you might as well be an atheist. You know, compared to a thousand, you might as well be an atheist. They were also accused of cannibalism, right? Because we celebrate the communion here, the bread and the wine. And they didn't like that. They thought they were engaging in literal cannibalism. They didn't understand the symbolic nature behind that. They were also being accused of incestuous relationships because, you know, we call each other brothers and sisters. And there's even ancient letters that were written to the government saying these guys, they go around calling each other brothers and sisters and they say they love each other. And they give each other a kiss on the cheek every time they greet each other. This is ridiculous, you know. So they were being accused of a lot of things. So there was a need. There was a need to show the culture of that time that, hey, yes, we do these things, but there's good reasons for it. And so you had maybe one letter that might stick out here is Justin Martyr's apology letter to the government showing, hey, not only is a Christian right in doing, you know, holding the church services that we do, but if you compare us to the culture of the day, we behave so much better. And therefore, Christianity should be sought out as the one true religion of the time. So you might want to check that out, Justin Martyr's apology letter. Well, guys, in the centuries, from the first century and on, we've had great minds that have really delved into who God is, what he's done, and how he continues to reveal himself throughout the centuries. There have been great minds, great thinkers who have written thick, thick books on just the greatest topics, like the Trinity, the incarnation, the resurrection of Jesus. And this is, I'm telling you guys, we have such a rich history in Christianity of apologetics. And, you know, I guess sometime along the line, beginning with probably the Enlightenment in the 18th century, where people started now thinking, oh, well, faith and reason do not mix. Faith and critical thinking do not mix. Since that time, you know, I guess Christian apologetics has seen kind of a downhill trend. So a lot of people have now started to depend more on emotions when it comes to their faith. I want to feel holy. I want to feel the Holy Spirit work in me. It wasn't about, is it true? It was about, does it make me feel good? Does it work for me? But let's not fear. Let's not lose hope, guys, because within, I guess, the last half century, there's been a surge in Christian apologetics, mainly in the work of philosophers and even scientists, guys. And we can talk, those will be topics that we will talk about, just kind of the history of all that. But, you know, I want to give you encouragement, guys, that there is all over the United States, even across the pond in Britain and Canada and South America and Africa, there are people looking into the things that we will be looking into. And I can tell you, being out in the First Thursday outreach, a lot of the questions that we come across, There's some really good questions, and they deserve answers. And that's what we want to do, is we want to equip you. And that leads me to my next point, which is what is the aim of our ministry here? What is the aim of this apologetics ministry? And it's, of course, to equip. My vision here is I want the church, our church, to be equipped with the necessary skills, not only the knowledge, guys, of why Christianity is true, but also the skills in how to present our case winsomely, tactfully. You know, we don't want to be out there with megaphones. We don't want to be out there screaming at people, condemning them to hell. But we want to have conversations with them. We want to build relationships with them. And in the process, we want to answer those tough questions that, you know, people that we come across may have. So that's the aim, is to equip the church with the skills and the knowledge necessary. But also, is I want you guys, you know, some of you may be new believers in here. Some of you guys may have, we all have doubts. We do all have doubts. This is not, there's no two parties here where some of us have made it and we're completely certain and some of us, you know, are just down in the dumps, always doubting our faith. No, we all have doubts. We all have questions. And with this ministry, also with the studies that we do, I want you guys to become more confident in your faith. You know, with I wrote down here that a belief that is well-founded does not fear criticism. So whenever your coworkers, your friends or family may come up to you and say, yeah, you're just a Christian, you probably think this way. And you're like, well, if you do have the knowledge and the skills, and when you learn those things, you won't have to shy away. You won't have to turn your back and say, yeah, you're right. You know, woe is me kind of attitude. No, I want you to have confidence in your faith because there are good reasons. Also, I think it's biblically mandated, guys, that in Matthew 22, verse 37, in the verses before and after that, when the lawyer approached Jesus and he said, hey, Jesus, what is the greatest law? And the greatest law that Jesus gave him was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And it's interesting that he added that, the mind. And even Paul tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, separate yourself as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through your mind. Be transformed in the way you think. And so I believe, guys, that God has called us to be critical thinkers. He doesn't want just an emotional bag here, you know. He doesn't want us to just love Him with our heart, but He wants us to love Him with our minds as well. So He would definitely desire for us to know more about Him. That's the way we develop relationships even in our everyday life. We ask questions, we gain more knowledge about the persons we have relationships with. And the same thing with God. He is a person. He is a personal being. So it just makes sense that we would want to love God more with all our mind. Now comes the question, well, how is this going to work? What will we be studying in this class? What are some topics that we're going to touch on? And I've been telling people, I want it to be a progression of thought. Today, we just start off really basic. We're going to start on the ground level with what is a worldview. And we'll talk more about what that is, but that's where I want to start off with. And then after, in the months to come, we'll touch on, we'll move on to now, how do we think critically? How does it look like when a person thinks critically? So some of the things we may touch on or will be touching on are the basics of logic. Basics also on how to understand, how to develop a valid and sound argument, and how to present that, and also how to detect when you're in a conversation when somebody's reasoning is off. You may have heard things that just sound off; they don't sound, you know, true to you, but you really can't put your finger on it. Why? Where it's breaking apart? Well, we're going to study some ways of detecting that. And believe me, guys, when I first got introduced into apologetics, it wasn't until a couple of years after that, I began studying logic and philosophy and whatnot. And that's where the principles of reasoning. And now when I took that out to the First Thursday outreach, you would not believe the amount of bad reasoning that is out there. And I'm telling you, when you just learn the simple principles of good arguments, argumentation, and you go out there, you guys will be surprised just as I am each and every day. But what that does is that gives you confidence, and now you can be able to confidently navigate a conversation, and you will be in control of the conversation. You can ask those critical questions, and you can make that person really think about the implications of their thinking. That will be definitely some of the stuff we're going to touch on is logic, critical thinking. And then we can, I think when we have a good, solid foundation for reasoning well and thinking well, then we'll be moving on to arguments. The specific arguments, for instance, against and for God and Christianity. For instance, how do we know God exists? How do I know that what the Bible is telling me is true? Hasn't the Bible been just translated and translated multiple times? How can I ever put my trust in something like that? Like I mentioned before, are miracles even possible? Do they happen today? What's up with that? Science is the only way to know anything about reality? Is that true? How can I answer my professors or teachers in the classroom when they bring up objections against Christianity or God? So these are some of the things that we'll definitely be touching on. Also, counter-cult studies. So we have Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, you name it. We definitely want to touch on topics like that so we can be prepared. I'll tell you, when we do the First Thursday's Outreach, I spoke with two Muslims the other day. The Scientology headquarters is right there where we go and outreach. There's so many religions, guys, but where we go and outreach on the campus area, talk about diversity. You name it, you'll see it over there. And so we'll have a chance to prepare for those conversations. And also definitely at your workplace and within your friends and family. You may have friends and family who are atheists. That's common today for sure, who just really don't know if there's a God out there, or who are adamant that there is no God and they don't want anything to do with him. Somehow that makes sense. Now the question becomes, how will we be accomplishing this? Well, one of the things I thought about, different ways to, let's make this classroom interactive. I definitely want your guys' participation. So one of the things I did was I created this handout. It just makes it easier to reflect on after rather than, what was that question he brought up? It's right there on the handout. The major questions we're going to be touching on. So that's one way, handouts. Also, I definitely want to make use of media, videos. I love watching debates. I love watching other videos that other ministries are putting out there that really bring up the top questions of today, of the here and now. So I definitely want to make use of that. We can watch videos. We'll talk about it after. Have any questions? We'll make sure to dig deep into those videos. Also, I really like this idea. This was brought up to me multiple times about doing kind of mock debates or point counterpoint. So we may divide up the room into two teams or maybe several teams, and we'll have maybe different debates going on at the same time. I'll come prepared with a topic, and then we can debate about that. We'll give each other maybe like 10 minutes to come up with our argument, and then we can, hash it out in a civil manner, of course. But that's the kind of stuff, because it really does prepare you for that street evangelism. That's the way it's going to be. And also, we may not have teams, but we can choose, maybe volunteer two individuals, and they can come up here, or we'll have a prepared skit, as it were, and we can just present something that you may see out when you're doing street evangelism, or just even in a home setting or whatever, and we can bring up those really important questions that always come up. Also, we will have time this evening for some Q&A. That, like I said, since it's coming after the First Thursday outreach, we will. You guys definitely come with your prepared questions. Oh, somebody asked me this, but I didn't really know how to navigate. I didn't know how to answer it. What would you say in this situation? We'll definitely open it up for that. And I definitely want you guys to participate in the Q&A. Just because I'm up here doesn't mean I'm going to have all the answers. Definitely not. So if you guys want to pitch in, this is your ministry as much as it is I'm here teaching, right? Also, I'd love to do some mini sessions. So maybe right before we present like the main study, we might have like a mini session. For instance, maybe there's a recommended resource and we'll just show you how to navigate through that website. Or maybe there might be a book that somebody's really interested in that we think will bless you guys, and they can give a quick book review and you can determine whether or not you want to buy it or whatnot. So stuff like that. And of course, guys, if you are interested in anything you want to see, you might have an idea that I didn't mention, please let me know. Please just come up to me whenever you want. I'm always open to hearing new ideas, guys, for sure. Also, if you're interested in helping out, for instance, with the skits, portion of it, or you're just interested in being involved in this ministry, please let me know. I definitely would love to have people to lean on and to look to and just bounce ideas off of, stuff like that. Please come up to me and let me know. So with that said, guys, that's my apology for Christian apologetics.